Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to take the opportunity to start today's episode off with gratitude and thanks to all the people who have sent me Facebook messages, emails, telephone calls to inquire about the illness of my aunt who was in the hospital. I thank each and every one of you for the support and all of the love. I thank you, thank you, thank you, and I appreciate it. And I'm proud and happy to announce that she is home, out of the hospital, and she is doing wonderful. I spoke with her yesterday because she lives in New York and I live in Connecticut. And she's doing great. She's back home, back to her old self. We are still waiting on some test results to come back. But for right now, she's doing great. And I know that she will continue to do great and that all the test results will be negative. So I just want to give thanks and praise to God for that speedy recovery. So again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for all the love that you sent our way. Excuse me. There's one more announcement I want to go put out before I go into the show today. On the 20th of May, the Litchfield County chapter of the National Association of Professional Women, we are holding a wine and cheese get together. So you don't need to be a member to come out. Come on out, celebrate with us, learn more about what NAPW is about. Invite a couple of girlfriends and come on out. It starts at 5 o'clock at the Litchfield Inn right there on 432 Bantam Road in Litchfield. So come on out. We have some great news to share with you. And after you come on out and you like what you hear, we'd be happy to invite you to be part of the sisterhood. So again, that is May the 20th at 5 o'clock at the Litchfield Inn. We are doing a wine and cheese gathering for all the women that come out. The cost for that, for the appetizers and the wine is $20. If you need other cocktails, you can order that directly from the bar. And if you need dinner, you can order directly from the restaurant. So message me if you have more questions about it. I am really looking forward to having as many of you out as can make it. So we look forward to seeing you again on May the 20th at 5 p.m. at the Litchfield Inn.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special. 'Cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was privileged to attend the National Conference of the National Association of Professional Women in New York City. And we had in excess of 1,500 professional women there. And I got to be honest, I was moved. This was my second conference. I've been a member for a few years. I'm even the president of the Litchfield County chapter, as you probably heard me announced earlier on. And I was touched by the conference and looking right there in the Marriott Marquis ballroom and see this sea of successful women that were there, and coming back and researching female entrepreneurs and to realize the rise that female entrepreneur has across the world. So the episode today came about because of all of those observations and knowledge that I acquire. So I am going to be sharing a lot of people's stories today, and a lot of people's insights, and a lot of things that is going on around the world. You know, because you might be sitting home thinking you want to start a business, but you're probably thinking, oh, I'm a woman, I don't want to start it because I am not going to be doing well. I'm not going to be successful because men are more successful than women are. But I'm telling you, brace yourself, and I want you to just listen to some of the insights that I'm going to be sharing with you today. And I'm sharing it because I want for you to be encouraged. I want for you to be encouraged. I want for you to listen to your instinct. I want for you to believe in yourself. I want for you to be bold and step out and start what it is you have been putting on the back burner for a number of years. I want to tell you that, for those of you who really don't know, the national spokesperson for the NAPW is Ms. Star Jones. And you all know Star, a prominent attorney in New York City. She used to be a co-host on The View, and her accolades go on and on and on and on and on. And she is this national spokesperson and CEO of the National Association of Professional Women, among other women. I'm going to talk about some of the other women that were on the lineup there. I tell you, you look around and you say, oh, what's happening around us? Women of all ages, you know? one of the persons that was one of the presenters there was Dr. Priscilla Douglas. And Dr. Priscilla Douglas is the founder and owner of P.H. Douglas and Associates, helping leaders to be more effective. And she has a phenomenal story. She's well known by top executives as a skill advisor and coach. Dr. Priscilla Douglas coaches individuals en route to and executives in the C-suite. She helps advance leadership skills for major clients and in financial service, in biotech and government, higher education, architects, and defense. You know, she has over 30 years experience. So women entrepreneurship and women business owners have been around for a long time. A lot of us don't know about them because we keep ourselves isolated and we are not part of the sisterhood. And that's why I'm doing this episode this morning to let you know, regardless of your ages, there are people out there that is willing to support you. You just need to get connected. You must get connected. Unless you get connected, you are not going to be able to move ahead. One of the other amazing women that was there was another, a young woman by the name of Sarah J. Schutz. And she is a lifelong learning and professional development at Star 12. And Star 12 is a program, is a national seminars training company that members of the NAPW has the opportunity to be part of and to utilize all that is going on there. Another successful woman that was there was Beth Horgan. And Beth is from the University of Phoenix. So if you have been thinking of going back to school as an NAPW member, you can become a member and you get an opportunity of receiving a scholarship, a $1,500 scholarship toward your degree program. And the beauty about that is that you can do that from the comfort of your home. So there is no reason why you should be saying, oh, I can't go back to school because I can't do this and I can't do that. Yes, you can. And we listen to all these successful women who are making it happen. Beth Hogan is the regional vice president for the University of Phoenix, and she was there telling us how our members who want to have this opportunity and to get their different accolades are able to do so. Another young, vibrant, successful woman was Leslie A. Renner, and she is from Girls Incorporated. And Girls Incorporated is one of the partnerships that NAPW has forged. So we have, as an organization, as the NAPW newly launched foundation, we have three organizations that we partner with. And Girls Incorporated is one of them. The other one that NAPW is part of is the the Heart Association, and we had Helene R. Barch there to tell us all about that and to see these women. Yes, they are not entrepreneurs. However, they are operating in organizations and companies that they believe in that is making a difference in people's lives. And that is what is important. You might not be doing entrepreneurial work, or you might not have your own business, but you might be part of an organization that is making a great difference in the lives of others. And this is what we all need to be true to. Stay true to our values and our calling, and make sure that we are helping to create legacies and to make a difference. Don't sit around and wait to have things all perfect and all together, because when you do that, you are not going to start. You need to start where you are. Start where you are with what you have, and the rest will fall into place. I can tell you from personal experience that once you step out there, be bold and be fearless, you begin to get the blessings and all the connections and all the resources that you need that you could never dream about. Another successful young woman there was Danielle Puncala, and she is from Reactive. You know, you see different women from all different walks of life coming together to share with us how we can become more successful. And as an APW member, you have access to all of these women. Another amazing woman there was from Brandware, Lindsay Wagner. And, you know, these women were talking about successful fundraising. How can you raise the funds to do the things that you want to do? So, you know, if it doesn't matter where you are, if you are in an area where you do not have an NAPW, you can start one there, so long as you can figure out the advantages you are getting out of it. Because once you are able to say what you are getting out of it, then you are going to be able to share that benefit with other women. All right? So I just wanted to give you that insight. And please attend our meeting if you are in the Connecticut area, or if you are close to New York, where we are. You can be part of our gathering on the 20th of May. Okay, so today's episode, we are speaking about women entrepreneurs. One of the research I found says, women entrepreneurship has hit a media tipping point. The question is it just a passing media fad that will soon be a blip on the radar screen, or is it actually a real fundamental economic force that is reshaping the world? I think it's safe to say that it is the latter. Women-owned entities is the formal sector replacement represents. Approximately 37% of enterprises globally, a market of attention by business policymakers alike. While agitated data is often challenging to find, the recent Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, GEM, found that 126 million women starting and or running businesses and 98 million operating established over 3.5 years business. That's 224 million women impacting the global economy. And this survey counts only 67 of the 188 countries recognized by the World Bank. That is phenomenal, phenomenal data. And that's what I am sharing this morning, because as entrepreneurs, sometimes we are in our little cocoon and we don't know what's happening in the rest of the world, but it is very important that we move out of our own way and start to connect with organization, with systems, I mean, with the effectiveness and the efficiency of the internet now, you can partner with people any part of the world so long as they share your values in life. So I want to continue sharing this Harvard Business Review. And it is from the Harvard Business Review blog network. And it is about a year old. But however, it's still relevant and enough to open our eyes. Women entrepreneurships in the global press. How often female entrepreneurs were mentioned in the global press? And the scale is rising. It went from 200 to 1200 in a 12 months period. And this came from the Lexis Global Appendix Network of developing entrepreneurs. I want to continue sharing this survey with you. I share that 224 million women impact the global economy. This survey counts only 68 out of 188 countries recognized by the World Bank. So let's look at what else the survey says. These entrepreneurs cross the spectrum of micro to high growth, from supporting life to creating wealth. They include hair salon owners, high-tech visionaries, and everything between, all making crucial economic contributions. Consider three aspects. And later on, I'm going to share an article I found on Sarah Blakely. And you all know she's the founder and CEO of Spanx. I'm going to share her story as well. So we're going to look at these three areas of reinvestment. In emerging markets, women reinvest a st- tagging 90 cents of every additional dollar of income in human resource, their families' education, health, nutrition, compared, by the way, to 30 to 40% of men. Think of women's increased income and asset as a gender-divided, driving family, community, and country well-being. When you look on the area of job creation, beyond their own incomes, 112 million of the GEM survey entrepreneurs employ one or more people. 12 million expect to employ up to six people in the next 5 years. That is 72 million jobs just from this small sample. In countries like Kenya, so-called SMEs, small and medium enterprises like this are responsible for 80% of all employment. And in the U.S., more than half of the 9.72 million new jobs to be created in the SME sector by 2018 will be created by women-owned businesses, SMEs. When you look in the area of innovation, when defining innovation as offering products that are new to some or all customers in some regions, including the U.S. and developed Europe, women entrepreneurs have higher levels of innovation than their male counterparts. Collectively, women entrepreneurs look different than their male counterparts. Their lower employment numbers and growth aspirations have historically led to questions of how to fix them. But different doesn't mean deficient or underperforming. For instance, recent Dow Jones research on venture-backed companies in the U.S. found those that were successful had twice the number of women on the founding team. On the other end of growth spectrum, analysis and data assets from 350 microfinance institutions across 70 countries indicated lending to more women as associated with lower write-off and lower portfolio at risk. Similarly, I recently met with Synergy and Copra Global, Kenyan social enterprise using franchise models. They both found that women entrepreneurs tend to be more successful based on their trusted status in the community, controlling for firm characteristic. Research suggests that women-owned firms outperformed those owned by male counterparts. With increasingly all recognized force, women's entrepreneurship still lags men's in all but seven countries in the world. if women's labor participation were closer to male participation, it would contribute 1 T to GDP in emerging economies. Women-led businesses are key to the opportunities. Perception of opportunity and capability strongly link to entrepreneurial activity. That is, if you think you will succeed and will be supported, you are more likely to try. In the U.S. and developed Europe, women are 18% less likely to perceive they have the capability to start a business. While the difference is less are developing economies. In every economy in the GEM study, women have lower perceptions of their capabilities, showcasing the enormous opportunity for an embattling environment which could boost entrepreneurial activity rate. Foundational to this environment are assets to healthcare, education, land rights, and affordable child care. Just as critical are role models and mentors. The Bank of America, we have partnership with Vital Voices and Sherry Blair Foundation, two leaders in training and mentoring emerging women leaders to help women achieve their full economic potential. Programs like the Center for Women Entrepreneurial Leadership are innovated in the academic space. We have all seen firsthand the enormous impact of this essential piece of the ecosystem. But as participants in these programs regularly articulate, they are efficient without access to capital, and they are inefficient without access to capital and markets. Women who have benefited from education and mentoring are experiencing capital punishment. For this reason, I was thrilled to join the International Finance Corp, IFC, in Tokyo this spring for the launch of the first global women's bond, which will be issued in October. $250 million to be invested throughout banks into women-led SMEs. The IFC estimated that enterprises with at least one woman founder are collectively looking for 1 T to grow their business. Now, value of total MSEMs with at least one female owner credit gap in emerging markets. The IFC estimates that enterprises with at least one woman founder actively looking to grow their business. And This is amazing data here that we are sharing, but it's enough to encourage us as women entrepreneurs to let us know that the help is there for us. And so long as you go out there, you will be able to make it with the right connections, with the right connections. So just to continue here, smart companies are watching this trend. They see that women, including the billion women entering the formal economy of employee and entrepreneurs, will dictate their business success. Coca-Cola sees 5 million women entrepreneurs as part of its global supply chain. By 2020, Walmart understands the power of women-led firms to innovate compelling products. Ito presents of 50% of perceives the 50% of Brazilian entrepreneurs that are women as a core market, and other members of the Global Bank Alliance for Women think similarly, and all firms should realize that in the war for talent, women are increasingly seeking entrepreneurship as a compelling alternative to a career path appears stunned. Entrepreneurial activities create growth and prosperity and solution for social problems. And today's trends show that women will be a driving force of entrepreneurial growth in the future. Yes, so I was very touched by this research when I found it, and I want to read some of the feedback here from women. Rita says, thank you for your blog and highlighting how issues such as capital punishment are not only constrained female entrepreneur development, but haunting national growth and prosperity. In June 2013, we launched the Gender Global Entrepreneurship and Development Index, GEDI, to provide insights into the condition that foster high impact female entrepreneurship development. The novelty of the 17-country pilot Gender GEDI Index is that it combines individual and institutional level data, since both play a critical role in entrepreneurial outcomes and success for the future information of the respect. And you can get more information about that organization at www.thegedi.org. Carmen said, this is wonderful and very encouraging to read. I have been an entrepreneur in the UK for over a decade and a half, and have seen as well as trained and coached many women start their own business. I focus on virtual PA industry, which has grown considerably, which is due to the growth of the self-employment market. Rolf says, I wonder what triggered the sudden increase in media report. It cannot be that there suddenly were more women entrepreneurs. Maybe it has to do with the catalyst after the financial crisis. New perspective, where both required and vogued. Looking for new paradigm on another point, while the trends are undoubtedly correct, and while I understand Harvard Business Review needs to throw around some numbers to be taken seriously as a business publication, I would be more careful with the number 126 million women starting and running new businesses. I used to manage new businesses, enterprise, million that are running new business, enterprises and 98 million operating businesses, and 90% reinvesting sounds all so precise. Although the author admits herself that it is difficult to produce precise numbers, and actually everybody agrees that it could be well be 135 million or 115 instead. The difference in the size of the country like Hungary. So it is this, if this story is also about being different, then please resist the temptation to increase the credibility of the story by popping up these precise numbers. This temptation, for instance, actually led many into taking models exact production of reality. And yes, there are going to be skeptics. However, this is a great insight for us to use as women to keep encourage us and guide us along, whether the numbers were skewed or not. There are many, many women who are doing amazing, as I will share later on with some women that I personally was able to meet, and you too must have read about them in magazines. Jalen, a 29-year-old female entrepreneur, thank you for sharing this article. I recently quit my job to work full-time on a startup as a co-founder. And I find this part to be absolutely true. If you think you will succeed and will be supported, you are more likely to try. I used to manage part of a nonprofit, and over again, I found that then my employees were giving new tools. They were more creative, excited, and driven. It is marketable. It is remarkable that what can happen when a team of people both feel and believe that their goals can happen. Thanks. Women have always been the glue that held the world together, says Tony. It is only natural that during this time of complex innovation and technological growth, that women are now showing their true colors. In many opinion, men are the more logical executioners. However, women operate more on the passionate end of the spectrum. Because of this, it is inevitable that we see a great deal of innovation from them that will solve many of the issues that are present in the current market space, as well as the creation of new ones. Ruth, I am not sure if I am at all surprised by the reading of the from the Christian Bible as indicated in Proverbs 31. The description of entrepreneurial woman tells that this has been going on far longer than we have realized. It's largely due to lack of recognition of the fact that the woman can be so creative, so big thing that she gets passed over when the time for recognition comes. Part of the woman are the weaker sex thinking and concept. Susanette says, the most interesting part is not just the rise of woman entrepreneurism, but the depth of diversity in the arenas they are coming up. Apart from women being more innovative, I think it's the measure of masculinity. I can use that as a metric associated with certain industries are professions which, as ignored, undermined their potentials, but are very confident and smartly exploited by the women entrepreneurs. Monica says, it is encouraging to know that companies are recognizing women's potential. This gives a boost to every woman who reads to the breakthrough, the glass ceiling, and go ahead by making their dreams a reality. Thanks a ton for this information. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I don't know about you. I am extremely encouraged by what's going on in the female entrepreneurial arena. And if you are listening and you're an entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur, I want for you to call in and let's talk about what's going on in your world. So let's talk about it as girls together. And if you are a male who is employed by your wife who is a female entrepreneur, I want to hear from you too. So call in 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And if you have not yet done so, I want for you to visit the GoFundMe link, and it is http://www.gofundme.com/1G, the number 4, the letter M, and the number 3 and 8. Thank you so much for those people who have already donated to the Breakfast Feeding Program. We are at a growing $617. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So please share that. Our goal is to have the breakfast program started this September so we can begin to feed hot breakfast to these children. So help us make that happen. Help us make that happen. And for those of you who may have some ideas about raising funds and what we can do, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your ideas. All right? Our website is almost finished. We're just waiting to add a few final touches. So it's going to be live very soon, and you will be informed about that. So I want you to join me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne, Facebook, Dynamic Daphne, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and Instagram, Daphne Clark Hudson. So I am out there. Check me out. And one more invitation. If you have a story to tell, if you want to connect with individuals globally and let them know about what's going on in your world, I want you to message me. I have a few opportunities that are available, and I want to find some key people to share these opportunities with. So why don't you message me? Message me, message me, message me. All right? So let us continue here. I mentioned that I wanted to share some stories. I mean, if you are a woman, I am sure you probably have a Spanx. Okay? And the Spanx, I had no idea what the Spanx was until in 2013 when I went to the NAPW conference and I was able to meet Sarah Berkeley. And prior to my meeting her, she was the keynote the previous year, 2012. She was the keynote at the National Association of Professional Women Conference, and she shared her story here. I have the Inc. magazine here for 2014. I want to share her story with you. And she made the cover. How I Got Started, the aha moment that launched Spanx. So there are quite a few stories here that I am going to share with you. And the first one I am sharing is Sarah, Sarah Blakely, Blakely, Sarah Blakely. I want to share her story because I know there is a Sarah Blakely in each and every one of us. But I tell you, I just love this this woman's courage and the way she went about this and not allow anybody to beat her out of her dreams and her vision of what she was getting ready to do. I'm also going to be sharing Barbara's story. I mean, for those of you who watch Shark Tank, I know you all know Barbara. Well, she was the featured speaker at our conference at the National Association of Professional Women 2014 conference. Oh, my God. And I did not know her story until I heard it there. And I tell you, I just came away so encouraged to listen to all the women that are doing phenomenal, phenomenal things. So, in the beginning, so, a well-honed founding story can help you connect with investors, employees, and consumers. And with any luck, keep them listening. Sarah Blakely had her product an undergarment that smoothed the contour of a woman's body, making clothes more flattering and comfortable. But she had yet to make her first sale. She managed to land a meeting with a buyer at the Neiman Marcus store in Dallas. Clad in a pair of fitting white pants, Blakely invited the buyer to join her in the ladies' room, where she proceeded to demonstrate the difference in the way the pants look with her undergarment. Which the buyer had donned Spanx and without. 3 weeks later, Spanx was on the shelf. She pulled the same stunt with the buyer at Bloomingdale's, Saks, B. Berghoff and Goldman. I wore these white pants for 3 years to sell Spanx, Blakely said. The tale of the white pants has become a key component of the Spanx story, and Blakely still loves to tell it. And why not? It continues to embody the powerful $250 million brand. I want to welcome guest 302 to the show. If you're a female entrepreneur or if you're hired by a female entrepreneur, I would love to engage your contribution in the conversation. And you can do so by calling 646-915-8166, or if you type right at the bottom, I can share what your contribution is. Right now I'm sharing the story of Sarah Blakely, who is the creator of the Spanx undergarment. All right? Okay. So, Sarah says, excuse me, and why not? It continues to embody the powerful $250 million brand she went on to create. So, listen, you wait until you hear where the idea came to her. It's going to blow your mind. Women have been neglected as customers, she says. We have been told that beauty is pain. Call that BS before Spanx. Before it has investors, customers, profits, press coverage, or even a perfected product, every startup has at least one valuable asset, its story. So you might want to ask yourself, who are you? Who are a world where people have a lot of choices, the story may be the deciding factor. Where did you come from? Why are you doing this? Even if you're answering these questions only for yourself, your co-founder or guys sitting next to you on the plane, hey, he asked, your company origin story have more power than you might imagine. And that's true, whether it begins in a garage like Hewlett Packard, Apple, or Google, or in a dorm room like Dell, the streets of the far-off country like Tom's Shoes, or the office of the former employee, most everyone else, I'm hard-pressed to think of a company that doesn't have an interesting foundational story, says Paul Smith, an executive coach, former director of market research of Procter & Gamble, and author of Lead with Story. But I suspect there are many that haven't crafted and told theirs. And they are important. People want to be part of something bigger than themselves. A nameless, faceless corporation with no real purpose, no story, is not an aspiring place to be. This creation myth is not an asset just for startups. As those businesses grow into established firms and individual founders figure less prominently, the origin story can serve as both a roadmap and moral compass. Keep that story alive. Keeping it true and keeping it relevant, these are the challenges more mature businesses must contend with. In a world where people have a lot of choices, the stories may be the deciding factor, says Nick Morgan, a communication consultant and author of How to Sell Great Business Stories. This is especially true of innovators. You are trying to understand the source of the founder's passion, says David Cohen, co-founder of Startup Accelerator, with programs in 7 countries worldwide that has provided the launch pad for more than 250 companies. Why do you care so much? It might be personal connection to the problem of just another vision of a different or better world. If it's for the money or because it's a big business, that's poor motivation. It won't sustain most people enough. Okay. I have to find her story here. Difficulties of starting and sealing the company. Indeed, many VCs think of themselves as investors in stories and storytelling, every bit as much as investors in companies. How well does the founder's life explain what they are doing? Wise, a general partner at Silicon Valley venture firm, made that statement. All right, so here is a little write-up about Sarah. Sarah Bleakley, and if you're just joining, I'm just sharing the story of Sarah Bleakley, the creator of Spanx. Sarah Bleakley, your customers get really passionate and emotional and become your advertisement. Spanx Atlanta makes women hosiery and undergarment. Secret. The only people I told were the patent lawyers and people who were in the undergarment industry. That was her first wise move, because you know how people get ready to talk you out of your dream and your vision. Well, good for her. She did not tell anybody about what she was doing. Okay, I just had to take a sip to moisten my throat. Here is what she says. When I was in my mid-20s, I spent $80 of my hard-earned money on a pair of white pants, which I couldn't wear. It was an undergarment issue. Panties bunched or showed lines. Thongs were too uncomfortable. And girdles or shapers were made of a thick material that felt like you were wearing athletic clothes beneath your nice ones. So one day, I cut off the feet off a pair of pantyhose so I could wear my white pants. That was my aha moment. I kept my idea to myself. The only people I told were patent lawyers and people in the undergarment industry. Ideas are fragile in their infancy, and I sensed that if I talked about it with friends, I might be discouraged. A lot of million-dollar ideas were squashed because people want to tell you all their concerns. Ain't that the truth? Once I had the prototype and patent in 2000, I sat my family and friends down and said, "Are you ready? Footless pantyhose." I then had my mom and best friend try them on, and their reaction was instant and emotional. I love it. So comfortable. No bulges. I can now wear things I'd wear before, like cream-colored pants. We still get the same reactions from our customers. We have never formally advertised. It's not that complicated. your customers get really passionate and emotional, and they become your advertisement. Wow. Talk about smart. Talk about smart. You know, what idea have you been sitting with? And, I mean, what ideas you got that you shared and somebody took your idea and run with it because you were not courageous enough to step out there and believe in yourself and to start something. Let me hear from you ladies out there. We are talking to today about female entrepreneurs. And I want to share one more story here about female entrepreneurs. And excuse me, guys, today is the day for women. There are a lot of amazing male entrepreneurs out there. I've had many of them on the show here, but today I have decided to commit today to the sisters, because there are many, many of us out there that needs to be encouraged. We need a little nudging to help us achieve that which we are called to do and to walk in our calling and purpose. So there's another bad sister that I want to share her story. I'm working on finding it here. And it's Barbara. If you guys watch Shark Tank, you see her on there. So I'm trying to find her story. Amazing, amazing woman. I did not know her story until she shared it a couple of weeks at the conference where I was. Unfortunately, I did not get to meet her personally, but I know the time will come with 1,500 women there and where I was seated. I could not make it up to her in time to get to just pick her brain little, you know, and to see what we have. But, oh, my God, she has an amazing, amazing story. And, you know, talk about creativity. Talk about believing in herself. And, my God, a Jersey girl. All right. So here we are. So I'm going to be sharing now Barbara Corman. Coran, Coran. I am going to, I'm sharing her story here. All right. Okay. Secret weapons. Are executive assistants worth it? Are executive assistants worth it? Meet five whose bosses couldn't do their job without them. Gail Aberson is Barbara's assistant. Barbara Cochran, Inc., New York City. While Barbara Cochran wanted to book an actress to play a mermaid at her book launch party, she knew just whom to call. Gail Aberson, her assistant for 8 years now, has mastered the art of managing the real estate mogul, Wacky Life, Cull Day, Abramson feels some 300 emails a day and answer every one within 24 hours. She also arranges Cochran's endless media appearance from Shark Tank Cochran is a shock to today's show. And if Cochran just happens to leave her Chanel suit, Chanel suit at JFK Airport, Eberson is on it. There's never a dull moment with Barbara, she says. Of course, Eberson knows all about chaos. A former business owner herself, she ran a children's store franchise called the Elephant's Trunk before working for Cochran, and thus attracts her duties with the work ethic of an entrepreneur. Everything funnels through call, says Cochran. Okay, so now I want to tell you a little bit about, I'm trying to see where they put her story. If there was more to read about her, yes, there is. I have to find it. But however, as she shared with us at the, conference that she came from just across the river. She came from New Jersey as a young girl, and she shared that she was invited and came to New York by a man. And she was crazy. She said the minute she saw that man, she knew she was going to lose her virginity to the man, because it was actually the first time that she was leaving home. Although she lived in New Jersey, she have brothers, and her mother, she says, every time the mother would come home with a baby, she would anoint their feet or their arms or their entire body, and she would be saying all these amazing things about the babies, who they will become and all that kind of thing. So her mother came home with her baby brother, and the mother began to anoint the feet of Barbara's baby brother. And the mother was saying, oh, he's going to be a good dancer. He's going to be dancing in amazing places. And she said, well, what you know, my brother became a dancer. But the unfortunate thing for Barbara, she was always told how stupid she was and how dumb she was. And the only grade she has ever got in school were D's. And she said, even as an adult, she did not know how to read. So it was like a rescue for her when the gentleman came and took her out of New Jersey to New York. But upon arriving there, it was just in a few days, as she shared, that she realized the man had children, that he was moving into the small apartment. So at 22, she was becoming a mother of these children, because the man was moving them away from the person he had them with. And she was going to have to take care of the children and the house. But as she says, that was better than going back to New Jersey, because she did not want to go back into an environment where she was continuously told that she was stupid and she was dumb. But this gentleman was in real estate. So he got her into the real estate business, and she studied and she learned it. So One day, the man came in and told Barbara that he was going to get married to the secretary. And she said she was so surprised because after all these years, she was there with the man, doing all the wife duties, playing house, looking after his children, and he never married her. He then decided he was going to marry, she said the name of the girl, and then she said, she called like Susie the Bee, she called her that name, the B word. And that was what happened. She said at that time, the business was worth $66 million. The real estate business was worth, and they came to the decision that they were going to split up the company. And I tell you, when she shared her story, tears ran out my eyes because I said, once a woman believes in herself and she's determined, she is going to make it. And it was amazing the way that they split the business. She said that they had, I think, 14. They had 14 real estate employees there, brokers. And she would choose the first one. He would choose the second one until they both have seven. They had seven apiece. And then the bank account was going to be split. He was getting $33 million and she was getting $33 million. And she said to her seven people that come Monday morning, we will be doing business at a different address with a different telephone number. And she said, I had no idea where the office was going to be, and neither did I know what the telephone number was going to be, because up until that time, the gentleman she was with had called all the shots and he would make all the decisions. And here she had to be making decisions now. But the one thing she knew was that she was not going back to New Jersey and that she was not going to fold into failure. So she said, those were the days when you could call up for a telephone, order the telephone, and they would come and install it right away. So what you know, come Monday morning, Barbara said she was in business. She was in business. The phone was ringing off the hook. But as the weeks grew, there was no business coming into the office. And her agents began to complain because their counterparts at other firms were making good business deals and they were not making any business deals. And Barbara said she looked over her business and she decided she was going to write an article for the biggest real estate column and magazine in New York City. So she wrote an article and the title was Apartments in New York Are at an All-Time Low for Rental. And she said that was her reality. The all-time low was what she was renting for, and although she was renting it so low, she still couldn't get any tenants. But after she was courageous enough to write that article and put it in the magazine, the phones start ringing off the hook. People were calling because when they shared the article, they said this information came from Barbara Cochran, Cochran, the real estate guru and expert. So now her phone was ringing off the hook, and they were getting people to rent their apartments because of the information. Now, the amazing thing that happened because of her courage was that national magazines started calling her, and everybody was now referring to her as the expert. And had she not stepped out and be bold, nobody would ever know about her. She could have been sitting there whining and pining that the man took her youth from her and now he's going to marry somebody else, but she did not do that. She braced up herself, she put her big girl panties on, and she stepped out and be bold and be creative in everything that she had to do. And look at her today. You know, there's a Barbara in each and every one of us. She's on Shark Tank, and you can see she's very assertive in what she does, and she takes risk on the small people. And, you know, what is your story? What is my story? We need to begin to share our story and step out there and believe in what we are doing. If Sarah Bleakley can do it, so can you and I. If Barbara can do it, so can you and I. You know, you might not be able to hire an executive assistant yet, but find somebody that can partner with you to help you to do what you are doing. Connect with others. We are not born to be lone rangers. We are born to connect and to create relationships, because without valuable relationships, we will not be able to get to the plateau that we are called to get to. So I want to encourage you to step out, be bold, and to just go the distance. You are called to go the distance.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell-Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
Okay, so that was a word from one of our sponsors. And again, that is a woman-owned business. She's a woman-owned business. So check out MD Log and make sure you are protecting all of your things and products that you create, and, you know, just don't be sharing your ideas and giving away your insight, because before long, you're going to be sitting around and you're going to be looking and you're going to say, oh my God, isn't that my thing that I told Daphne about? You know, so be careful, be cautious as to how you share what you have and with whom. get an insight from Sarah, what Sarah says. The only people she told about her spanks were the patent attorney and people in the undergarment. Not even her mother she told, nor her best friend, because you know they're going to be telling somebody else about what you are doing. So I just pray that you got something out of these two stories that I shared this morning. I just wanted to share that for you so that you can realize that it doesn't matter how successful you see someone now. You don't know the journey that they have been on. You don't know how long it took them. You don't know the valleys that they have been in. You don't know how many days they woke up and they were crying with headaches and everything else that was happening. However, you got to believe in it enough that even during the tears that you are going to continue to give birth to that dream that you have, all the disappointments, I want you to view those as labor pains. But I want you to give birth. We are almost 6 months through 2014. And there are many of you who are sitting there with visions and ideas, and you are afraid to start something. Don't be afraid. You never know until you start. You do not need to have all the pieces together. You just need to start. Learn as you go. Learn as you go, because I know if you decide you're going to sit away to get all the money in, to get all the clients on the books and all of that thing, you're never, ever going to start. So I hope that each and every day as you wake up, you're going to hear the story of Barbara ringing in your ears or of Sarah Bleakley pounding inside of you. I know that I will be continuously motivated by each of these stories of these women. And although today is the day when I share the stories of the women, there are many men out there that we can be encouraged by and use their stories too. What is it that you love to do? You know, come sleet, rain, whatever is happening, you just get the encouragement. Your adrenaline keeps pumping because you know that you got to go out there and you have to do this. What is it? Go out there and make it happen. I know that if it is to be, it's up to you. It doesn't matter how challenges are hitting you. I have a project now that I have an idea for, which is a great idea. And I came up with a portion of the funds. However, I need a large sum to continue the project. And I don't have the funds in hand yet. However, I am believing that the funds will come. You know, I paid on what I had on the project. I'm still excited about the project because I know it's just going to rock people's lives. And instead of getting despondent and discouraged and saying, oh, when is it going to start? I just know when it starts, it's going to be the right time. And it will be impacting the right people. The right time and for the right people. You know, there are times in your business where you say, oh, I want the right partner. But I have learned to pray about these things, meditate on them, and say, Lord, bring me the right person if there needs to be on this project with me. I have to tell you, you know, in my life, I'm a very stubborn person. And I got what you may call a rude awakening at the end of 2013. I was instructed by the universe to be still. And there were a list of activities that I needed to just release and let go. And I needed to be still to wait for my next directive. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it was the most challenging thing for me to do because I'm always on the go. I'm always doing things. And to be told that now is the time to dismantle and sit back and let me put things back together. It was not easy. But I'm here today to tell you that I am glad I was not disobedient. I am glad that I obeyed Daddy's instruction and that I took deep breaths. And even when I was not happy to do it, I took deep breaths and I followed through and I became still. I waited for his instructions on the direction to do, in the direction to go, and with whom. I waited on the introduction of the people he wants me to collaborate with, because I tell you, in the past, I was like accepting everybody who wants to work with me without realizing their reason for doing so. And I'm sharing this to tell you that not everyone that comes to you that wants to be on your platform with you are there for the right reason. So if you think that you have been struggling with that, I want you to take some time and pray about it and meditate about it. And just ask God for the directive in where you need to go and with whom. Because I'm here to tell you, he delivers every time. And, you know, like we say, out of the blue, it's not really out of the blue, but once you are sitting and waiting on his directive, once he tells you that he needs to take control of the driving and have you sit in the passenger seat. You know, I don't know whether any of you can relate with this. If you are a driver, you probably can. As a driver, have you ever been riding in the passenger seat of somebody else's car and you find yourself pushing the gas on the brakes as you drive? I'm sure, please tell me I'm not the only person that does this. I hope there's somebody else out there that does that. Just call me to reaffirm. Well, it's the same thing when God put you on standby to sit and let him continue with the driving. It can be challenging, but you have to take deep breaths and trust that God has always provided for you and he will continue. You know, mash the brakes if you want and push the gas if you want, but you continue, remain in the passenger seat and let him continue to do the driving. Let him continue to do the driving. It is going to be well worth it. It is going to be well worth it. So we have like 18 minutes remaining in this segment. And if, again, I'm extending the invitation that if you are a female entrepreneur or you're hired by one or there's one in your family, call and let's talk about it. I want to hear from you. I also want to tell you that I have some amazing opportunity that is or has opened up for people who want to be visible worldwide. If you want to be part of a platform that gives you global exposure, you need to message me. I'm not going to advertise what it is on the air. I am just doing it for people who are interested and who reach out to me. You know, you can message me. You can call me on 203-794-6208. You can leave me a message there. You can email me or you can send me a message on Facebook or even right here on the radio show site, and I will tell you what it is. It's going to rock your world. So for those who are interested in being seen, connect, be available globally, I want for you to reach out to me. And again, if you are in the Connecticut area and want to be part of our wine and cheese gathering on the 20th of May at the Litchfield Inn starting at 5 p.m., I want for you to reach out to me. We have an invitation on Facebook. We also have it on Eventbrite. But I want to see you there, so we can share with you about the things that we are doing. I want to invite you again to check me out on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne, Facebook at Dynamic Daphne, Pinterest, Instagram, LinkedIn, Daphne Clark Hudson. And if you can't remember all of those things, I want you to Google me, Daphne Clark Hudson, and you'll be able to connect with me on all the platforms. Check my website out, Daphne Clark Hudson Empowers.com, Daphne Clark Hudson Empowers.com. And the 18 people that have contributed so far to our breakfast feeding program project in Jamaica, you can get that at http://www.gofundme.com/1G4M38. So far, we are at a whopping $617 and growing. And I just want to be thankful to all those people who believe in the things that I believe in and are willing to help me to get a hot breakfast in the stomach of those children. And if you have a story that or if you know anyone that has a touching story that they have encountered any adversities or anything, ask them to reach out to me. I am always looking for stories. to share here on the radio site. There's also There's a podcast that I participated in, and I want to share that with you. I want to give you the link that you can check it out. It's called Power Up for Profit. Power Up for Profit. I'm trying to find the link here to tell you about it so that you can check it out. Check it out. All right, just bear with me. Power Up for Profit. Power Up for Profit. Come on, where are you? It is it's an amazing podcast that I want to thank Kathleen Cage, another amazing entrepreneur that is doing things. And I'm getting ready because today at 3 o'clock. All right, so here it is. Here it is. 3 o'clock today. I am going to be on another. Okay, so it's Power Up for Profits podcast.com. 007 Dr. hyphen Doc Dr. hyphen Daphne hyphen Clark hyphen Hudson hyphen bigger hyphen than hyphen you hyphen and me. I am going to put it in the chat room, and you can share that with others. So here is the podcast for my podcast. That's there, and please share it. It's http://powerupforprofits.com/ Power Up for Profits. Power Up for Profits podcast.com. And my number is 007. You just go there and you just click on that. And I was just sharing some insights, and I'm getting some great impact on about that and some feedback, and people are really receiving the message there. And I thank Kathleen again for that opportunity, for sharing me with her platform of people. She's another amazing entrepreneur that is doing some phenomenal work. So again, check the podcast. For those of you in the chat room, the link is right there. You can just click on it, and please share it with others out there. And so, again, we are on twice a week here. We are on Sundays and at 7 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. And we always honor you. We, every week when we're on here, and we see the way that people are downloading this show, it is like hot cake out of an oven. And we are grateful that you that you find this show worthy of spending your time to listen. And if you are in the Danbury area, we are looking for some high-quality volunteers to help us in the studio to tape our TV shows. We are on over in Bridgeport. We are on in Newtown. We are on in Danbury, New Milford, and all those areas. So we are looking for some volunteers, and we need you. We need your help and your support. So if you can find it anywhere in your heart to serve, if it's even once a month that you can help us out there, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. I tell you, our platform is very encouraging. It's inspiring. Really and truly, every guest that comes on, and I'm not bragging, or even when I am there that I'm doing some teaching, it is going to be worth your while. It is definitely going to be worth your while. So I look forward for your support and for your encouragement into helping us get the word out and to support us in everything that we are doing. All right, so I just pray that you got something out of this this show today, and I want to find something here that I want to share with you before we go, or maybe I should just give you a reminder of the things that you are not supposed, you're not going to be embracing in your life. And when change comes, I want you to embrace it. And I think I want to share this with you. Expanding your capacity to impact. I want to share something here with you. And shift. As we come to the end of the year, I want to take a moment and reflect on the things that all of you have done individually to make my life easier as a supervisor, because of the competitive nature of this profession we share. I want all of you to collectively know that you have done for each other. This year has passed. In some way, each of you have contributed to the success we all share. So, for all the little things that you may have thought went unnoticed, please let me say thank you. I noticed. I wanted to share that with you because although this is May the 14th, 2014, I decided to share that little excerpt with you because today we spoke about female entrepreneurs. I shared a Harvard Business Review with you about the boom in female entrepreneurs across the world. I shared the story of Sarah Bleakley with you, the creator of Spanx. I shared the story of Barbara Corcoran with you about the real estate module and her humble beginning. And I share that excerpt with you about the year comes to an end, because today is your new year, your birth, your new day for creating magnificent things in your life. Don't let any story hold you hostage any longer. It doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter how long you have been in the valley. Today is your day to grab hold of that rope of victory and to propel yourself out of that valley. There are people out there with outstretched arms who are waiting to support you. If it is to be, it's up to you. Don't be ashamed to ask for help. Asking for help proves how strong you are. You are a winner. You know that you are number one. So you need to step up into your position. You are number one. You are not second. You are number one in every area of your life. I am here to support you, and there are many others who are looking to support you. Let us be part of the next survey about women entrepreneurs. Let us be documented on those pages of Harvard Business Review. Have you accepted the challenge? I have. Let us do it together. Let us grow together. Remember, you were created for greatness. Do not let anyone or anything else get you off of your success path. I'll see you next time on Sunday. So long, live your dreams.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
I believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this.
Thank you for showing me and directing me.
Hallelujah.
To my destiny.
I dare you to declare it.
Tell the Lord thank you for showing me,
hallelujah,
and directing me,
speak to it,
my destiny.
Come on, you declare it to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny.
I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah.
for every struggle that came with the slave.